Okay, I'm going to start out with a little sentiment. And what I want you to do while I do this is I like to ask you not to so much try to concentrate on the words, but just let yourself feel the vibration of the words. So don't worry if you hear me. Don't worry if you understand me. Just center yourself right now. Take a breath. Just relax. And what we're going to do is we're going to remind ourselves that the reason why we're here is because we want to hear something different. We want to hear something new. We want to hear something that will get us out of all pain and into total joy all the time. That we want to hear something that's going to allow us to let go of every block that we have to receive in our abundance and our happiness and our joy. We are here because we want to let go of the past. And we want to know who we are right now and express that in a beautiful way, in a healing way, in a fulfilling way right now. I am sustained by the love of God. The fact that you are sustained by the love of God is the answer to every problem that's confronting you right now. And it's the answer to every problem that you have forever. In this world, we have a tendency to believe that what's really taking care of us is everything but God. In this world, we have a tendency to put our faith in pills, money, protective clothing, prestige, influence, being liked, knowing the right people. We have a tendency to believe we are sustained by an endless list of forms of nothingness. That we endow with magical powers to take care of us. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people. These things are your replacements for God's love. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people. These are all cherished so that you will continue to believe that you are only a body. Putting all your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, these are all songs of praise to your separated self. Don't put your faith in the worthless. It won't sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. It will lift you out of every trial and make you raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. Only the love of God will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of the Son of God. That's you. Don't put your faith in fields, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people. It will fail you. Put your faith in God's love that's within you. It's eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. Realizing that you are sustained by God's love is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sheer confidence. Tell yourself that through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sheer confidence. Telling yourself that you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sheer confidence is a declaration of release from the belief in the illusions of fear of the world. Telling yourself that through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sheer confidence is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. Let this idea that you are sustained by God's love, let it sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it, I am sustained by God's love. Think about it, I am sustained by God's love. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize that it's true, you are sustained by God's love. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. And surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your holy mind, you innocent child of God. Don't let these idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your peace of mind. The kingdom of heaven is not having any idle or foolish thoughts constantly disturbing your peace of mind. That's the resting place where your Creator has placed you forever. You are sustained by God's love. You are sustained by God's love. You are sustained by the love of God. You are sustained by your Creator's love for you. You are sustained by your Creator's love for you. You are sustained by God's love for you. You are sustained by the universe. The universe loves you. The universe loves you. You are sustained by the love of the universe. You are sustained by the love of God.
I got a few extra books up in the cabinet in the hall. You're welcome to get one if you want to use one. I'm going to do paragraph 12 on page 88. Now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects. Having infinite patience is the way in which time is exchanged for eternity. Infinite patience calls upon infinite love. And infinite patience and infinite love, by producing results now, it renders time unnecessary. We have repeatedly said that time is a learning device to be abolished when it's no longer useful. Time is a learning device to be abolished when time is no longer useful. It's a learning device that's going to be abolished. When time is no longer useful, it's going to be a learning device that's going to be abolished. Time is a learning device that when we don't need any more time, time will end. The Holy Spirit, which is the part of you that speaks for God while you think you're in time. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that speaks for God while you are in time. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that speaks for God, for love, for truth, while you are sitting in a chair. The Holy Spirit knows that time is meaningless, and so the part of you that loves you is going to remind you that time is meaningless in every passing moment of time. Because it's the Holy Spirit's special function to return you to eternity and remain to bless your creations there. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that speaks for time, the part of you that speaks for God in time, the part of you that speaks for love in time. It's the only blessing that you can truly give. Because only the part of you that speaks the truth in time is truly blessed. Because the part of you that tells the truth in time has been given you freely by God. So you must give the part of you that speaks for God in truth in time, just like you receive the love of the part of you that speaks for God in truth in time. The main thing I like about the Course in Miracles is that the Course in Miracles does not address specifically, usually, not one single solitary thing that I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I bet you, most of you, if you're feeling any kind of unhappiness right now, you're not thinking about this. I bet you $100 you're not mm-hmm. thinking about this. Because we don't think like this. We don't think like this. And the way that you get rid of the problem and the pain that we go through is we have to think like this, which is, I want the part of you that speaks the truth in time to talk to me. I want the part of you that speaks the truth to talk to me. I want the part of you that speaks love to talk to me. I want the part of you that can remind me of God to talk to me. That's the Holy Spirit in you. And when I'm listening to the part of you that's telling me the truth, that's when I'm listening to you and I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Everything else that you tell me is an illusion. And one day I'm not going to listen to it because I'm never going to forget who you are. So it starts to sound more and more like, I just want to. life, because unless somebody's telling the truth to me, they're not saying anything to me. And so I'm learning how to separate people from their ego. And it's such a trip after all these years to really be able to like know when somebody's really talking to you and when you're talking to the phantom. And then, you know, so if there's a situation in your life that's causing you a problem right now, then infinite patience will render any time unnecessary before you could have it. And infinite patience produces immediate effects. And infinite patience just means that you have an abundant willingness to have it, and you have an abundant willingness to have it all the time. The Course says, you know, patience is it's abundant willingness. So I've got to have an abundant willingness that's infinite, an abundant willingness that never ends, an abundant willingness to have love, an abundant willingness to have peace, an abundant willingness to have fulfillment, and that abundant willingness has to be infinite. It has to be consistent. After every minute of every day, I have to want the best for Earl. I can't want the best for Earl 10 minutes of the hour, and the rest of the time I'm wanting fear for Earl. You see what I mean? You know, it's like, because that's not infinite patience, because infinite patience would be me constantly wanting me to have the truth and the happiness all the time, without any gaps. I always want my peace. And if I did that, he said, I would have an immediate effect. Of course I would. I'd always be feeling peace. Immediately. Okay, so the decision for God is the section I'm getting ready to cover. And it's a monster. Here we go. First of all, I realize to some people I'm like Godzilla. But it's like G-O-D. Godzilla. Because nothing frightens people that are frightened more than talking about God. Nothing frightens people that are frightened more than telling them loving things. The Course says there's nothing we're more afraid of than love. And you come here, you get love. So if a person that wants to think bad about themselves must avoid me. Because you know you're never hearing me ever say anything other than that you deserve to be happy. So now I understand what happens in relationships when I get in relationships with people and I'm very, very loving. It frightens them. So in the transition, don't be fooled by the frightened people. Don't make it stop you from going for the new and going for the love and having infinite patience and consistently want the truth of yourself, just because the more you keep on improving and being more loving, the more for a while it looks like people are frightened or they drop away or they move out your life. Because what you're doing is you're beginning to have infinite patience that's about to produce immediate effects. So tonight we're going to make the decision for God, which the Course says is perfect happiness. So tonight we're going to make the decision for complete happiness. Anybody want to? Yeah. Anybody want to?
Yeah.
All right. Don't make a difference having people in here. We can still be enthusiastic. You know what I'm saying? That don't have nothing to do with numbers. Okay. Okay, we're going to go for the decision for God, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you really believe that you can make a voice that can drown out God's?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you really believe that you can devise a thought system that can separate you from God?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you really believe that you can plan for your safety and joy better than God can?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you really believe you can make a voice that can drown out love? Yes. Do you really believe you can devise a thought system that can separate you from love? Yes. Do you really believe that you can plan for your safety and joy better than love can, better than God can, better than my Creator can? Yes. So what do I do about that? Well, you need be neither careful nor careless. You don't have to be careful. 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 You don't have to be careless. And you don't have to be careful. 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 How many times somebody ever told you that? You don't have to be careful. You need to merely cast your cares upon your Creator, because your Creator cares for you. So instead of being careful, I need to cast all my cares on my Creator. What created you cares for you. 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 And you are God's care, because God loves you. The Creator loves you. The Creator loves you. When you listen to the voice of God, because people tell me all the time they want to learn how to listen to the voice of God, okay? He says, well, when you listen to the voice of God, you can always tell, because it's going to remind you that all hope is yours. It's also going to remind you that the reason why you should have hope no matter what you're going through is because you're loved by your Creator, and your Creator cares for you. So no matter what you're going through, you're going to be okay.
All
right. I'm sorry, but you cannot choose to escape God's care. You cannot choose to escape love. Because that's not God's will. It's not God's will that you escape. It's not God's will that you escape love. I know, it's the most beautiful thing I've heard in my life.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be careful, you don't have to be careless. I just want you to cast your cares on me, because I care about you and I love you, and that no matter what you do, you can't escape my love, because I love you. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Then it says, since you cannot escape God's care, because that's not God's will, you can choose to accept it, though. I can't escape it, but I can accept it. And it says, how do you know when you're accepting? How do you know when you're accepting the care of God? You will use the infinite power of God's care for all those God created by. So I'm going to start to receive God's care, because I'm going to allow myself to use God's truth to care for you. I'm going to receive God's care, because I'm going to use everything that God gives me to be a means for caring for you. Because I was wondering, how was I going to get it? How was it going to come into my life? I've been wanting it. Okay, this is what I must do. First of all, I must be honest with myself. I must tell myself, you know what, I believe that I can drown out all the truth. I think I can make a voice that tells me stuff that's not the truth. I also believe that I can come up with a way of thinking that separates me from my happiness. I also believe, and this is a big one, I was so glad to admit this one, I believe I can take care of myself better than God. My plans are the ones that I want to see happen. I got my plan, and I believe I can do it better than my Creator. Okay. And so what do I do about that? Well, don't be careful about it. Don't be careless about it. Say, I want to give that up. I'm going to give this whole thing up to God, because God cares about me, and I can't escape God's love. And I'm willing to use the love that God gives me as a means to care for everybody else, so that I can receive the infinite power of God's care and have all my problems disappear and leave. Now. And that doesn't have anything to do with anybody else in this room doing it, believing it, cooperating it with me, or saying it's okay. That's how I know it's from God. But the cool part for you all is that you're going to be the receivers of the love that comes through me to free me.
Yeah.
So everybody wins. If you're loving people, don't worry about what it looks like they know it. Don't worry about what it looks like they're giving it back to you. Because you're going to be rewarded just because you're giving it. And giving it is how you see them. Giving it isn't what you do for them.
So it's like delivering the message, but don't worry that it gets delivered.
It's like, could you imagine how messed up the postman would be if he came if every letter he delivered, he wanted to make sure the person got it? He would never deliver the message. You know what I mean? All you have to do is go, you know what? I I'm not going to be careful anymore. And I'm not going to be careless anymore. But I am going to give it up. I got this situation in my life right now that I'm dealing with. I got to give it up. I got to give it up to God. I got to give it up to my Creator. I got to let go of my plan. I got to let go of my plan. Okay, next paragraph. There are many healers who didn't heal themselves. Have you noticed how many people are trying to help people who screwed up themselves? Have you ever seen how many people was trying to love people who didn't know what love was? Right? He says, there are many healers who didn't heal themselves. They haven't moved. He says they haven't moved mountains by their faith because their faith wasn't complete or whole. Some people have healed the sick at times, but they haven't raised the dead. That sounds like a pretty big request. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, okay. He says, sometimes I heal people, but I haven't raised the dead yet. I'm going to get to that. as soon as I put my clothes in the cleaners, I'm going to raise the dead. It's on my to-do list. I promise. Raise the dead. Watch the dishes, raise the dead. There's this new TV show coming out. It came on. It's called Pushing Daisies. When people die, this guy got the power to touch them, then they come back to life. But if you touch them again, they die again. And that's it. They're dead for good. So his mama died, and then he touched her, and she came back to life. And then he touched her again, and she died. He didn't know that he had the power. So there's this private eye that wants to hire him, so because he figures he can make a lot of money, because as soon as somebody is murdered, he can have him touch him. They can tell him who murdered him. Then he can touch it again and die. Then he can solve the murder and get some money. That's a plan, ain't it?
Right, that's a plan.
You see what I'm saying? That's a plan. That's him trying to take care of himself, right? So the truth is, the Course says we haven't raised the dead, but raising the dead isn't really that hard to do. All you have to do to raise the dead is to no longer see people as dying. It's really not hard. So I'd like for you to make the statement and take the stand tonight that nothing that you loved and none of your relatives, nothing that you love, relatives, nothing, pets, nothing has died. Your uncle hadn't died, your dad hadn't died, your grandmother, grandfather, that everybody who you read about tonight on the paper, in the paper, that you claim they didn't die. And then you'd be raising the dead. What y'all think about that?
Yeah.
What y'all think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And since it's the truth, you don't have to believe it. Right? Since it's, if it's the truth, you don't have to believe it. That's what I like about the truth. If it's the truth, you don't have to believe it. I'm Earl Purdy. You don't have to believe it. I'm still Earl Purdy. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if it's the truth, you don't have to believe it. Now, the Course says, unless the healer heals himself, he can't believe there's no order of difficulty in miracles. That means that you haven't learned that every man God created is equally worthy of being healed because God created it whole. So the Course says the reason why we have difficulties doing things is because we haven't learned that every man equally deserves to be healed and happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the reason why a person experiences one thing in life being harder than another thing in life, according to the Course, is because they haven't learned how to see everybody as being worthy of being helped.
Mm-hmm.
And so a person who doesn't know that everybody is worthy of being healed is a person who sees it as difficult to be healed themselves. So if it looks like it's hard for you to be happy, that means that there are some people that you don't believe deserve to be happy as well as you. You deserve to be happy, but they don't. And the person who believes they deserve to be happy, but somebody else doesn't, is a person who experiences difficulty in being healed and happy. That's right there on the page in front of you. That's answers. Those are answers. And more as you continue to grow in spirit, you'll find that you won't want to make anybody else more important than your own happiness. So you let the grievance go just because you don't want the grievance to stand in the way of your happiness. Not because of them. It'll just be you going, I don't want that to block my happiness, and I'm not going to keep holding on to this because it's blocking my healing, and I want to be healed. So then you go, well, how do I do that? Well, you go, even though I don't like the son of a bitch, I still want him to be healed.
Okay.
Is everybody hear that? Everybody clear about that?
Yep.
There you go.
Okay? Because you all know it would be easier to heal people if we didn't have to like them.
Yeah.
But when we think we have to like them before we can allow the healing to happen, but we want to be separate from them, then we keep ourselves in pain forever. So the way you get past a grievance is to want a good thing to happen to the person in spite of the grievance. I feel this way about you, but the truth is you're worthy of being healed, whether I believe it or not. God is the love in which I forgive you. See, I like the truth to be practical. I'm not really trying to be holy. I'm not trying to be nicey-nicey. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to have a peaceful, happy, fulfilling life to fulfill my function here on earth and never have to come back.
Earl, are you saying then you don't have to love that person?
What I'm saying is that person is loved whether you do it or not. And if you recognize that they are loved whether you do it or not, then you are using vision. You are seeing past your illusion. Because your illusion might be that they don't deserve it because you don't like them. You see what I'm saying? But when you have vision, you look beyond the appearance to the truth behind the appearance. So you don't deny the appearance, but then you don't stop at the appearance. You keep on going past it. The appearance is, this person abused me when I was a child. That is the appearance, and I'm having all the feelings that go with that appearance. The truth is, on the other side of that, is this person needs to be healed, and they deserve to be healed as much as I deserve to be healed. Because if they were healed, they wouldn't be abusing, and if I was healed, I wouldn't be attracting it.
Yes.
So if I really want to get rid of it, I got to get rid of the cause of it. And the cause is that I care too much, and I don't know how to give my cares to God. The more I study this, the more I see that the way to be happy was in any way I was taught.
I care too much.
Yeah, you care too much.
That's the cause.
You're not giving it up. You're taking personal responsibility for everybody else's happiness. You care too much. Mm-hmm. You care so much that now you think their happiness depends on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is the most egotistical place you could possibly get in your mind.
Huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on. Let's see what else we got. Mm-hmm. So the Quran says, I love it. It says you're really asked to return to God, the mind as God created it. Mm-hmm. Would you please remind? Would you please, like you go to somebody's house, they want you to, you borrow somebody's car, they want you to return it to them the way they gave it to you. Right? But that's what God is saying. Would you return your mind back to me the way I gave it to you? Which was sane, full of love. Would you please do that? Then he says, he asked only for what he gave. I gave you the loving mind to begin with. Why don't you give the loving mind back to me? And when you give the loving mind back to me, when you give your loving mind back to me, when you give the truth back to me, when you give your thoughts back to me, then you will be healed. He says, because sanity is wholeness. So whenever the Course uses the word wholeness, it really means sanity. So your sanity is my sanity. And so I want to know your sanity. And the way that I want to know your sanity, I'd like for you to give your mind back to me the way God gave it to you. Give your thoughts back to me the way God gave them to you. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want to do to you. I want to give you back my mind the way it was created, which is Earl Purdy is a sane, cool guy. Because that's how my mind was created. It was created in sanity. It was created in love. And so that's what I want to give back to you, and that's what I want to give back to God, so that I can have it given back to me. Any questions, any comments about anything we talked about so far? What we've heard, the message we've heard so far. Okay, there are a lot of people who call themselves healers who don't heal themselves. And the reason why we have a move to mountains in our lives is because he says our lack of faith. Mm-hmm. He says our faith is not whole. And he just said wholeness means sanity. So you could say, my faith was not sane.
Wow.
See? My faith was not sane. And say, unless you heal yourself, you can't believe. See, unless you are healed, how can you believe there's nothing that can't be healed? If you stand outside the healing, then that's you saying there's something that can't be healed, and I am the witness that there's something that can't be healed. I am the proof that there's an exception to God's law. God says that everybody can be healed, everybody must be healed, everybody must have sanity, everybody must have love, but I'm outside of it because I'm unhappy right now. So I am the proof. I am the proof that there is difficulty in healing. All you have to do is look at me. I am the proof there's difficulty in happiness. All you have to do is look at me.
It says that right there.
It says it right there in the page. He says, unless the healer heals himself, he can't believe there's no order of difficulty in miracles. Mm. He hasn't learned that every man God created is equally worthy of being healed because God created it sane, which is whole. You merely ask to return to God. The man is God created it. That's only what God is asking for, is what God gave you, knowing that you giving your man back to God will heal you, and that's sanity. And sanity is wholeness, and your sanity is my sanity. So the saner you become, the saner I'm becoming, the saner I become, the saner you're becoming.
This is a
homer,
isn't it?
It, the course of miracles coming pure like this will either wake you up or kill you dead. It either knocks you out to the point that you want to go. Or it makes you go, yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, we got the rails on the side of the chair.
All right, right. It used to put me to sleep when I first read it. Now it wakes me up. Because I know I'm hearing something that no man thought of. Because people aren't this nice. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly not this smart. Helen Schuchman did not just sit down and go, I'm going to write the Course in Miracles. And anybody that thinks that somebody could sit down and write a book like this, it's just not where. You know. So, the Course says, why should you listen to the endless insane calls you think are made upon you? Why should you listen to the endless insane calls you think are made upon you? When you can know the voice for God is in you. God has commended God's spirit to you. God asks that you commend your spirit to God. God wills to keep your spirit in perfect peace because you are of one man in spirit with God. Excluding yourself from the atonement, which of course causes the undoing of fear, the correction of error, and the healing. He says that is your ego's last ditch defense of its own existence. Excluding yourself from the healing reflects both your ego's need to separate and your willingness to side with your ego's separateness. This willingness to continue to side with your old way of thinking means you don't want to be healed. If you continue to think the way you were taught by the world before you started to read the Course or whatever your path is, you don't want to be healed. And that's what I see a lot in my experience. I'll see us come together and hear this, but use the old thought system to deal with the situations around us. And he's saying, whenever you do that, you don't want to be healed. You don't want to be sane. Because if I wanted to be sane, I'd use the new way of thinking. So if I listen to the new way of thinking, but I use the old way of thinking, I don't really want to be healed. But I shouldn't be careful about that. And I shouldn't be careless about that. I should just keep on giving it up. If God give me another perception of my unwillingness to want to be healed. Okay, there's another paragraph. Anybody got any thoughts about that? Any feelings? Any ahas? Any questions? I love questions.
Now I know what it means to love your enemies.
Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, you know, it's kind of like we don't have to like people to love them. We don't have to like people to want the best for them.
That's right.
I guess if I don't like you, I perceive you to be my enemy.
Right.
But I can love you as my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see you, I know what you need, or I want the best for you, I want you to get healed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Just even though I don't like it.
Right. It's like I can totally want you to be healed and not want to go out to dinner with you.
Right. Exactly.
And we somehow think being spiritual means you got to like everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's only your ego that doesn't like people. And your ego isn't you.
Right.
So it never is you that don't like people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not love people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's saying. Right, he says it right here. He says, excluding yourself from the atonement, which is the healing. He said, that is your ego. And everybody clear about what the ego is. It's the part of me that wants to believe that the separation is real. It's the part of me that wants to keep the grievance. It's the part of me that don't like. It's the part of me that thinks it is on its own. It's the part of me that's afraid. That's the ego. And it wants to live. That part of us still wants to exist. And the court says, well, your ego tries to exist by making sure it excludes you from the healing. By always telling you, it's true for everybody but you, it'll never happen for you, it's not going to be right for you, it's not going to last for you, you're going to lose, it's not going to happen for you, you're going to get sick, you better watch out, things going to happen to you, it's bad for you, don't trust nobody, don't love nobody.
Be careful.
Be careful. Okay, you're not clear about that. It's the part of me that thinks you are outside of me, and you are outside of me, and you're outside of me, and you're somebody outside of me, and you're somebody outside of me, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. That's the ego. It's a part of me to believe this is a bunch of crock. I'm not really being taken care of by God. I got to come up with my own plan. I better look out for myself, and I better see if I can get somebody or something to care about me. You know, mad to speak about what they did to me. That is the ego. And it's the part of us that keeps us outside of the atonement. Because when you're that upset all the time, you're suddenly not enjoying the healing. That's the ego. It's not you. It's not you. That's not you. So how do you get past it? You stop trying to change it. Don't spend another day trying to change your ego. Work on, I believe you deserve to be happy regardless of what I think about you. I want you to be healed, because at the point I want you to be healed, that's the point I no longer experience difficulty in my healing. I can't do that if I think I got to like you, necessarily. Some people I do. That's why I try to surround myself with people I like, so to make the whole thing easier. I say it again. Surround yourself with people that you like so that you make the whole liking thing easier. Okay? But it's not necessary for you to like me for me to be happy and healed by God. I'm sorry, you don't have that power. Your not liking me has absolutely no effect on my good. Period. So you can let go of your guilt. That's a power we don't possess. You don't make anyone happy. You don't have the power to make anyone happy. You can let yourself be happy and then give them a witness of what happiness looks like so they can join you.
Cool.
We could give each other so much joy every time we come together that we couldn't wait to get back with each other the next time. But as long as a person waits for things to show up that they're not given, they are asleep. And you know, as long as you're waiting for stuff to show up that you're not giving, you're asleep. But your being asleep will not stop God from giving to you. Your being asleep just stops you from seeing it. See the difference? If you handed me a $100 bill and I had my eyes closed, would I see it?
Yeah.
No. But would that affect at all the reality that she's offering it to me? No. So all of us got gifts being offered to us right this very night, right this very moment, that we don't necessarily see, but it doesn't mean it's not here for us to accept. How do you like this sentence where he says, this will, your willingness to side with your ego's desire to be separate means you don't want to be healed?
Mm.
The first time I read the book, that was like one of those statements that went, I don't want to be healed. I don't want to be healed. So if I, instead of saying like I feel separate from you, if I was to say I don't want to be healed, I would change my mind. Because that's what it means. I don't want to be healed. I don't want to be healed. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be prosperous. I don't want to be loved. That's what my separateness is. That's my willingness to be separate. That's my willingness to hold that grievance. I don't want to be healed. I don't want to be healed. I don't want to be healed. Then your mind says right behind that, I do want to be healed. I do want to be healed. Notice when you tell yourself the truth about how you feel, you hear that truth. You hear the truth right behind it. Like when I go, okay, I'm holding a grievance against my mama, which means I don't want to be healed. Then right behind that it goes, wait a minute, I don't want to not to want to be healed. I want to be healed. You see how you go to it? But you got to tell yourself the truth about your feelings first. Stop trying to be nice. Be honest with yourself. I used to try to be nice all the time. How many of y'all have been trying to be nice?
Oh, yeah.
How's that working out for you? It sucks.
Yeah.
Because most of the time you're being dishonest and you're not really sharing your true feelings about nothing with nobody. I'm not saying we shouldn't be loving. I'm just saying being nice. Sometimes you can be so nice you can completely lose contact with what you really feel about anything. It happens a lot in the New Age movement. Because everybody will say they're doing fine and then they don't look happy at all.
Fine.
Everybody, how you doing? Fine. How's everything going? Great. Everything going fine. Fine. Everybody going fine. And then it's like...
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I'm doing fine. That's where you be. Yeah, I'm fine. It would be resonating in my energy field. It wouldn't, you know, even if I was quiet, it would be resonating in my energy field. You can't hide love. I love it. He says, but the time is now. You haven't been asked to work out the plan for your happiness yourself. You haven't been asked to work out the plan of salvation yourself. You haven't been asked to work out the plan of salvation yourself. You know why?
Because
I told you before, the remedy couldn't be of your making. You are not the one that's going to make the remedy, and so I'm not asking you to work out the plan for your happiness by yourself. God gave you the perfect correction for everything you made that is not in accord with God's will. Okay. Your Creator gave you the perfect correction for everything you made that's not in accord with love. Okay? I am making God's plan perfectly explicit to you. And I will also tell you of your part in the plan. Okay? I'm making the plan plain to you, and I'm also telling you your part in it. And not only am I telling you your part in the plan, I'm telling you how urgent it is that you do it. So let's get this straight. So Jesus is saying, first of all, I am going to make the plan clear to you. Then I'm going to tell you what it is you need to do if you really want to have it. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? It's really urgent that you do it. God weeps at the sacrifice of his children who believe they are lost to him. Love weeps. You ever had, some of us have had the experience of having a child that was hurting themselves, and they hurt themselves, and you feel like there was nothing you can do about it, and you weep. You know, you weep at the sacrifice that your children are making because they believe they are lost to love. Sometimes it's hard to look at somebody hurting themselves at the same time you know that they believe in their plan and that they're not open to another way of looking at it. And you got to watch them put themselves through it. And you got to let them put themselves through it. Because they want to. They don't want to be healed yet. So they still do the old way. But what relaxes you about that is you really realize it's their choice. And so therefore you can kind of like, oh, okay, they could do it another way. They're choosing not to do it another way. So there's no reason for me to have a heavy heart, even though I have compassion for what they're going to go through. Whenever you're not completely joyous, okay, it's because, whenever you're not wholly joyous, it's because you have reacted with a lack of love to one of God's creations. This is the way the process goes. I'm not happy because I'm not loving myself or I'm not loving somebody. I feel like this is bad. This is a sin. Because I shouldn't be walking around not liking people and not loving people. So I think that that's a sin. And so now I'm going to become defensive because now I'm expecting some attack to come because I'm not doing right. I'm not really loving like I should. So I know that's wrong. So I believe I'm going to be punished for that. So now I become very defensive. Okay? Because I'm expecting an attack. Because I'm not giving up the love and I'm perceiving you all without love. I don't like you. So since I don't like you, I'm looking for you to hurt me. I'm looking for an attack. Because that's wrong. I know I ought to be liking you. I ought to be loving you. So that when I don't, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And so I'm expecting something to happen to me as a result of not being as loving as I should be. Does anybody don't follow that? Okay. Then he says, but the decision to react in this way is yours. And so this decision to react this way can be undone. In other words, it's you that's making a decision that you've done something wrong because you perceive with a lack of love, and so now you believe that something's going to happen to you. He said, that's your decision. In other words, he's telling me, Earl, it's your decision to walk out of the door tonight believing you got something to be afraid of. That is your decision. You don't have to walk out of the door tonight believing that you can't trust people or that people are going to hurt you or that you can't really have love in your life or that you've done something wrong and so now you're going to be punished for it and now you count on the lookout. He says, that's your decision. That's your choice. You're the one that's choosing to look at it that way. And that's the good news, because if it's your decision to look at it that way, it can be undone. But, he says, but the decision to react this way is yours, it can therefore be undone, but it can't be undone by repentance. It can't be, this old way of reacting and expecting an attack and being afraid and defensive, he says, it cannot be undone by repentance. And everything I learned was that the way that you had to repent, the Course of Miracles is saying, repentance is not the way to get there. Not in the usual sense you think of repenting. Oh, I did something to you, and now I'm going to repent for it. Because he says, if I repent from the perspective that I'm bad and I did something wrong, he says, this implies guilt. If you allow yourself to feel guilty, you will reinforce the error rather than allow it to be undone for you. I'll say this several times. If you let yourself feel guilty, you're going to reinforce the error. If you let yourself feel guilty, you're going to do it again. If you let yourself feel guilty, you're going to do it again. If you let yourself feel guilty, you're going to reinforce the error of thinking that you are guilty, that you can be hurt, and that you are bad. If you let yourself feel guilty, you won't let the problem be undone for you. And this is a class about having it being undone for you. So the Course is saying, well, if you want to have the problem undone for you, then you have to be willing to let go of your guilt about it so I can undo it for you. Now, decisions can be difficult. Decisions can be difficult. Decisions cannot be difficult. Decisions cannot be difficult. This is obvious. What? That's obvious? Yeah, decisions can be difficult. This is obvious if, there's the catch, it's obvious if you realize that you must have already decided to not be happy if that's how you feel. You've already decided to not be happy. That's why you feel the way you feel. You've already decided to feel that way. That's why you feel that way. The way I feel right now is the way I decided to feel right now. And so therefore, the first step in undoing a feeling I don't like, the first step to undoing the feeling that I don't like is to recognize that I actively decided wrong in this. But I can also decide actively otherwise. Okay, I've decided not to feel good right now, but I could just as actively decide I'm going to go for my peace right now. I decided, the way I'm feeling right now is the way I decided to feel right now. The way I feel right now is the way I'm deciding to feel right now. The way I feel right now is the way I'm deciding to feel right now. The way I feel right now is the way I'm deciding to feel right now. Okay, I like those of you who wouldn't mind saying it with me, not like a loud affirmation, but more like this. The way I feel right now is the way I have decided to feel right now. The way I feel right now is the way I have decided to feel right now. The way I feel right now is the way I have decided to feel right now. The way that I feel right now is the way that I have decided to feel right now. The way that I feel right now is the way that I have decided to feel right now. Now, I can actively decide otherwise. I can actively decide otherwise. The way I'm feeling right now, I've decided to feel this way, but I could decide to feel another way. Be very firm with yourself in this. Let's see the instruction. Be very firm with yourself in this. Now, keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you. Keep yourself aware that the undoing process does not come from you. But the undoing process is nevertheless within you because God placed the undoing process in you. So what is your part? Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made. In other words, give your error over to the healing in peace. Now, in other words, I'm not feeling good right now. Let me go back to the point in which the error was made, which was when I decided not to feel good right now, and let me start to actively decide otherwise. But I got to also realize he's not telling me to make myself feel good, because he just told me the undoing process was within me, but it didn't come from me. That my job is just to be willing to return my mind back to the point that I made the mistake. So a person says, well, what do I do? This is what you do. You say to yourself as sincerely as you can. See, instructions. You say to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit, God, will respond fully to your slightest invitation. Your higher self will respond fully to your slightest invitation. So you say to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the universe is going to respond, to my slightest invitation. Not my wholehearted, excited, believing invitation. I just want you to give me a slight invitation. So this is what you say. I must have decided wrongly. Why? Because I'm not in peace. I made the decision myself. But I can decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise. Because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty. 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 I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the What? The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision? Wait a minute now. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decisions if I allow the Holy Spirit? Whoa. So I don't need to feel guilty because I know Spirit is going to undo all the consequences of all my mistakes if I will let Spirit. I choose to let God. I like that. What? I choose to let God. I choose, Earl Purdy says tonight, he chooses to let God. I choose to let God. I choose to let God. I choose to let God do what? Undo all the consequences of my mistakes. I choose to let God undo all the consequences of my mistakes. What's the sense if I let him? I choose to. How do you do that? I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit in me to decide for God for me. I'm going to let the part of me that speaks for God to make decisions for me now. I'm going to make the part of me that practices the truth make the decision for me now. I'm going to let the part of me that's God, that's love, that's not programmed by the world. I want that part of me. I'm going to allow the God in me. I'm going to allow it to decide for God for me. So even if I am not treating myself right, I'm going to give the part of me that's the Holy Spirit permission to make the decision for love for me even when I'm not making the decision for love for me. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit in me make the decision for my health even when I'm not making the decision for my health. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit in me make the decision for my abundance even when for some reason I'm not making the decision for my abundance and I'm still choosing to feel like I'm guilty and I'm choosing to be unhappy for some reason. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit undo all the consequences of that mistake, because that's a mistake. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. It's permitted.
That section was incredible. That was one answer after another answer after another instruction after another instruction. So I'm going to do the love offering now, and then we're going to finish up on the invitation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing with me and with yourself. I am sustained by the love of God. Okay, let's close our eyes. And those who want to repeat after me. The first step in undoing whatever unhappiness that you may be experiencing or that you may experience in the future is to recognize that you actively decided wrong. I actively decided wrongly. Because I'd like you to take a situation right now and verbally say out loud, I actively decided wrongly about this. I actively decided wrongly about this. And so keep yourself fully aware that the undoing of this doesn't come from you. The undoing of this doesn't come from you, so relax. The undoing of this doesn't come from you, so relax. But the undoing of this is in you. So I want you to return your mind to the point that you made the error. So if you can, try to remember the last time you felt good. Because that was the point at which the error occurred. Say to yourself as sincerely as you can, and I want you to remember that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to respond to your slightest invitation. That's the universe is going to respond to your slightest invitation. And those who would like to actively get involved outwardly in their healing, repeat this after me. I must have decided wrongly about this because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can decide otherwise. About this. I want to decide otherwise about this because I want to be at peace.
I want to decide otherwise about this because I want to be at peace.
I do not feel guilty.
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 Because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let Holy Spirit. I'll say it with you. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let the Holy Spirit. That's why I don't feel guilty. I don't feel guilty because it can be corrected. I don't feel guilty because it can be undone. It can be undone by God. It can be undone by God. All of the consequences of every mistake you've ever made, even though you may not understand how they could even be remotely possible. All the consequences. Notice it said, the consequences of the mistake can be undone. That's a very key point. The consequence of the mistake is you're not feeling happy. You're not feeling at peace. That's the consequence. And that's what can be undone. Your lack of peace. Your lack of feeling innocent. That's what can be undone. That's the consequence of the wrong decision. I choose to let Holy Spirit.
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 By allowing Holy Spirit to decide for God for me. By allowing Holy Spirit to decide for God for me. And so you can say your higher self. By allowing my higher self to decide for God for me. And of course it's God being love is also perfect happiness. So another term for God from the Course is perfect happiness. So it goes something like this. I choose to let Holy Spirit. By allowing Holy Spirit to decide for perfect happiness for me. So I want the other part of me that absolutely wants my happiness and joy. I want that part of me. I allow that part of me to start to make decisions for my happiness for me. Amen. Next.